You can hear the difference. Bright and beautiful music. KIXI, AM and FM, Seattle.
CBS News. I'm Ann Crosman reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Police in London are still waiting positive identification of a body they think is race car driver Graham Hill. We have a report from Bob Dyke.
Scotland Yard says it may be several hours before the bodies recovered from the wreckage of the plane can be positively identified. The victims were burned beyond immediate recognition. Their remains have been taken to a North London mortuary for examination. Police in Britain and France have been trying to locate Graham Hill on the chance he may not have been aboard the flight, but the search has been unsuccessful. The plane, a Piper Aztec, reportedly belonged to Hill, and Hill's name, with five others, is on a list Scotland Yard has of persons who were supposed to be aboard. Scotland Yard says that Hill's driving license and other documents belonging to him were found in the wreckage. Shortly after the crash, in dense fog at a golf course 3 miles from a suburban London airport, police went to Hill's home in Hertfordshire. They're still there with his wife and three children. Bob Dyke for CBS News, London.
The latest from Canada in a minute.
A lot of happy facts have been written down for you. Learn the happy facts and be a happier you.
We're the Consumer Information Center of the U.S. General Services Administration, and we have a lot of happy facts, useful facts, over 250 government publications, just filled with facts about nutrition, about simple home repairs, about what records you should keep. You can learn how to remove stains or how to take care of your car. All kinds of facts. For a free catalog, write Consumer Information, Pueblo, Colorado, 81009. Learn the little-known facts of life that can help make your life a little happier. Send for your free catalog. Write Consumer Information, Pueblo, Colorado, 81009.
Negotiators have reached tentative agreement to end a 6-week Canadian postal strike. After 10 hours of talks, the country's Postmaster General came out to make the announcement. He did not give details of the tentative agreement, but it is known that the government did not budge from its original offer of a $1.70 an hour increase over 30 months. The union had asked for an increase of $2.73 an hour. Ratification may begin on Sunday, and it's expected to take several days. The Canadian postal strike has halted mail delivery throughout the country and caused economic hardship for many businesses. President Ford continues on to Peking Sunday after spending the night in Anchorage, Alaska. He's attending a birthday party for Alaskan Senator Ted Stevens. Earlier in Fairbanks, the president took a tour of part of the Trans-Alaska pipeline. He said that when it's completed in 1980, it will help make this country less dependent on foreign oil. Energy Chief Frank Zarb, who's traveling with the president, said he's going to England Sunday to get some information on how to make coal into synthetic oil and synthetic natural gas. Zarb says the British have made progress in those processes, and if the U.S. can perfect them, it can become more independent of foreign oil and other energy sources. New York Mayor Abraham Beame says he's very surprised and disappointed that President Ford vetoed a bill that would expand federal protection for foreign diplomats in New York and four other cities. The bill would also have provided reimbursement to the cities for local police protection of diplomats. Mr. Ford said he thought the bill was the first step in expanding the protective service nationally, and he didn't want that. The Protective Service is a branch of the Secret Service, and it was created mostly to protect foreign embassies in Washington. High winds and deep snow are hampering search parties looking for three men in the mountains of northern Utah. One man is alone, a 16-year-old skier reported missing by his cross-country skiing companion on Friday. Two other men who are duck hunters were last seen Thursday in Willard Bay, just before a snowstorm. Now this message.
The time, July 1st, 1931. Amid a 21-gun salute, the USS Constitution is recommissioned. This is James Drury with Navy Chronicle. The USS Constitution was the first sizable frigate commissioned by the United States. Built with timber gathered from Maine to Georgia and copper spikes supplied by Paul Revere, this beautiful, powerful fighting ship became a symbol of American freedom on the seas around the world. She served an active and distinguished career until 1900, when she was declared unseaworthy. But public sentiment saved her. The USS Constitution, the oldest ship in the Navy, is today a symbol of courage and patriotic service by Americans at sea. Old Ironsides remains in Boston Harbor, where she began so long ago in 1797, and she's still a symbol of American freedom.
You've been listening to Navy Chronicle, an historical series with James Drury and the U.S. Navy Band.
Soviet physicist Andrei Sakharov, who won this year's Nobel Peace Prize, says political prisoners in the Soviet Union are one of the most serious problems of our time. Sakharov made his statement in a telephone call from Moscow to Amsterdam, where the Dutch branch of Amnesty International is meeting. That group said earlier this month that the Soviet Union had 10,000 political prisoners. I'm Ann Crosman, CBS News.
Radio Mystery Theater presents exercise the most mysterious muscle in the human body, the imagination. Enough, said the poet, is as good as a feast. But what is enough? Mr. Webster tells us it means sufficient. But what does sufficient mean? That's right. It means enough. So we go round and round. And because it's so hard to agree on what constitutes enough of anything, we find that we have more than enough of murder.
How did you kill those men?
Magic.
Magic. Okay, I can wait for you to tell the truth.
I wrote them each a letter.
And the letters killed them?
They read the letters, and it killed them dead.
That's impossible.
Why do you say it's impossible?
Because words on paper alone can't kill anybody.
That isn't so, Sergeant. Didn't you ever hear the saying, the pen is mightier than the sword?
Our mystery drama, The Poisoned Pen, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Roberta Maxwell and Michael Tolan. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
As an Army infantryman, you have to own more than a good pair of boots.
Go!
You have to own the nerve to rappel from a helicopter and the stamina to survive in the wilderness. You need the savvy to find water where it hasn't rained, food where you can't see any, and your way home where the stars are your only roadmap. You also need the skill to turn ropes into bridges, ponchos into rafts, and personnel carriers on a dime. Infantry in today's Army isn't easy, but then hardly anything worthwhile is.
Join the people who join the Army.
information, call 800-523-5000 toll free. Join the people who join the Army.
This is a routine gun trace request.
Some 3,000 calls a month like this one come into the National Gun Tracing Center from law enforcement agencies throughout the country requesting information on guns used in crimes.
Hello, this is ATF with the gun trace request.
We check with both national and foreign manufacturers and forward the dealer's name to the requesting agency. In some cases, we can do this in a matter of minutes.
I will hold. I'm sorry to report that the owner said the gun was stolen about 6 months ago, and he forgot to report it.
I'm Rex Davis, director of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. Gun tracing is often the only means of solving a crime. If you secure your gun against theft, you make our job and that of your local police that much easier. Place a complete description of your gun with your other important papers. And if your gun is stolen, report it at once to the police or ATF. Remember, your stolen gun threatens everyone.
Every year, New York is inundated by a bright wave of eager, anxious, would-be stars. Girls so young, so fresh, so beautiful, they can break your heart. They come here to sing, to dance, to act. In short, to make it big in the big time. And like the waves that roll up on the beaches, they soon recede and disappear and are gone without a trace. Are they good enough? There's that word enough again. In most cases, the answer is no. But it doesn't matter. So great a multitude clamors for a place in the spotlight, and yet there is only room for so tiny a handful. Let us concern ourselves with a theatrical agent named Barney Hogarth.
What's that, Fred? You didn't get your check. It's impossible. I put it in the mail last night. Don't yell at me. Your argument's with the U.S. government. Freddy, pal, I swear to you, it's in the mail and it ain't gonna bounce. Hey, Proudfoot, come in here.
You sent for me, Mr. Hogarth?
How many times do I have to tell you? When Fred Sinclair calls, I'm out.
Now, please, Mr. Hogarth, you're shouting at me again. And it makes me so nervous. I really become ill.
Is there any mail?
I can't do my work.
Did the mail come?
Mail? Oh, well, no. Let me get my thoughts together.
What's that in your hand?
And this. Yes, it's the mail.
That one letter? It must be some actor looking for work. What do they want from me, these people? Go on, read it. Well, what are you standing for like a dummy?
Now, I can only do one thing at a time, Mr. Hogarth. I came in here to ask you something.
Yeah?
Well, I haven't been paid in a month.
We'll talk about it after lunch.
Now, Mr. Hogarth, you
give me a hard time and we won't talk about it at all. Read me the letter, huh?
Yes, sir.
Don't these actresses know letters don't mean a thing?
Dear Mr. Hogarth, 6 months ago, a young lady approached a gentleman on the street. She was starving. She was desperate. She needed money for her lodging. She said to the gentleman, Sir, I will do anything for $50.
What is this, a gang?
But this gentleman looked at her with deep compassion, and he said, Poor child, take the money and bless you. It's a crazy world. I, that girl, have come into a considerable inheritance. I'm wealthy. I wish to prove the biblical adage, cast your bread upon the waters. I wish to reward your generosity a thousandfold. I have tried to find you. I believe you to be a Mr. Barney Hogarth.
Hey, tear that thing up.
Now, if you are the man, please tell me so, and I will send you a check for $50,000. I enclose a stamped, self-addressed envelope for your convenience, signed Forever in Your Debt. And that's what it says.
That's what it says, huh?
Yes, sir, Mr. Hogarth.
And what's the address on the envelope where I'm supposed to answer?
Well, it's just a post office box number. Mr. Hogarth, is it true?
Is what true?
The letter.
Well, what do you think? Sure, it's true.
Oh, Mr. Hogarth, I knew it. I knew that beneath your very tough exterior, you had a heart of gold.
I can remember like it was yesterday. This little chick comes up to me. Wait. Wait, where's a piece of paper? Let me write this down. Dear little girl, yes, I am that Barney Hogarth. Sign Barney Hogarth. Now here, put that in the envelope. Yeah. Yeah, I heard her proposition. And would you believe it? I began to cry. Poor kid. I gave her the $50. I would have given her more, but I didn't have it, so go figure.
No, Mr. Hogarth, you are a saint.
Oh, seal it and send it. And remember, my boy, why we are put here in this world to begin with.
Yes, sir.
We are placed here to do good to one another.
Yes, sir, I'll remember that.
And if I cannot help an unfortunate brother or starving sister, of what use could I possibly...
Mr. Hogarth.
Well, don't interrupt
me. No, Mr. Hogarth. Oh.
What's the matter? What's the matter with you?
I don't know. What? I can't breathe. It's hot in
what
here.
What's the matter?
The room is
being
dense.
What, are you sick or something?
I'm so dizzy. The room is dancing. I can't breathe. Mr. Hogarth, help me.
Proudfoot. Proudfoot. Come on, kid. Proudfoot.
What was his full name?
Sebastian Proudfoot.
What did he do here?
He ran the office for me. He's something the matter, Sergeant.
Where was he from?
I don't know. Somewhere in Texas, maybe.
Did he have any enemies?
Maybe Oklahoma, one of them places out west. Enemies? How should I know?
He worked for you for 3 years. You ought to know something.
What do you know about young kids today, especially in this business? They're all crazy. Who can keep track of what they do?
You can't tell me anything about his private life?
Listen, what is all this? I thought he died of a heart attack.
He did.
Then what are the cops buzzing around for?
The heart attack was brought on by a poison. He was murdered.
You're kidding. I mean, who'd want to murder him?
Had he been acting strangely?
Well, who knows what would be strange for him?
He died in your office.
Like that? Out of a clear blue sky for no reason.
Okay. That's all for now.
He was a very nice boy. Why should anybody want to kill him?
I wish to reward your generosity a thousandfold. I have tried to find you, and I believe you to be a Mr. Joseph Carraway. If you are the man, tell me so, and I will send you a check for $50,000. I enclose a stamped, self-addressed envelope. If I'm that man. Well.
Joseph?
Hmm? Oh, yes, my dear.
I know you're quite busy.
Oh, no, please come in.
I was afraid I might interrupt the muse.
No danger of that. She's abandoned me this morning, I fear.
Oh, when the first draft was coming along so nicely, too.
Where are you going?
Well, I thought I'd drive downtown. Is there anything you'd like me to pick up?
No, I don't think so, my dear.
Well, I could mail the letter for you.
Letter?
One you just sealed.
Oh, this letter.
And does it need a stamp?
No. It's all ready for posting. And thank you, my dear.
It's addressed to a box number.
Oh, it's just an inquiry, my darling. A literary inquiry.
Well, I shall return in time for tea. And you must promise not to work too hard.
I promise.
There's no great rush. You still have 3 months to finish the first draft.
Yes. I suppose I
don't like your color. You're so pale.
It seems to be so hot in here.
Hot? Why, the room is freezing.
I can't breathe.
Darling, what's wrong?
The room. They're starting to...
No. No, don't try to stand up.
I can't breathe. The room is dancing.
Joseph.
Help me.
Joseph.
I believe you to be a Mr. Frank Clancy. If you are the man, tell me so, and I will send you a check for $50,000. I enclose a self-addressed stamped envelope. Honey, you're on.
Selena!
Oh.
Good morning, Mama.
Didn't you get into bad habits in New York?
sleep until 9:30 in the morning?
Mama, everybody in New York sleeps till noon.
Is that a fact?
Well, I brought you your breakfast.
Oh, thank you, Mama.
Well, I have to fatten you up a bit. You got so skinny while you were away. You keep spoiling me like this, and I never will want to go back to New York to resume my career.
How is your career coming along, Selena?
That's my problem. I can't decide which career. Should I write plays or act or sing or dance? That's why I came home, to do some thinking.
Well, you don't want to think so much. You just concentrate on your breakfast. Oh, I also brought you the New York paper.
Oh, what's in it?
What's always in a New York paper? Murder. Seems like they got a whole string of murders.
No.
Someone is running around poisoning people.
Really?
There's a Mr. Frank Clancy.
Frank Clancy? Why, he owns the Rendezvous. It's the biggest nightclub in the city.
Not anymore. Somebody fixed his wagon.
That's awful.
Then, according to the paper, you got a Mr. Joseph Carraway.
Joseph Carraway? Why, he's only one of the leading playwrights in New York.
Well, I'm sure the worms will be thrilled to hear it. Someone poisoned him.
That is terrible.
And you got another one, a Mr. Sebastian Proudfoot.
Who?
Well, he's rather a peculiar name, Sebastian Proudfoot.
Sebastian? No. He shouldn't have been poisoned.
Well, honey, if you get right down to it, nobody should be poisoned.
But he wasn't supposed to.
What do you mean he wasn't supposed to?
He's a very young fellow. He was a very young fellow. And it's a shame.
Well, how would you know?
Mama, I knew all those people. After all, when you pursue a career in New York, those are the people you meet.
These people were all friends of yours?
Of course. They were all friends of mine. I just don't understand about Sebastian Proudfoot. You see, he worked for Mr. Barney Hogarth.
Barney Hogarth?
Barney is the leading theatrical agent in New York. And he's the one I meant to...
Well, you meant to what?
Nothing, Mama. You know me. I always talk to myself.
That's because you have money in the bank.
It was like poor Mr. Joseph Carraway said to me before he died. Always go back to where you came from and renew your roots.
Well, we got plenty of roots that needs digging up in the South Pasture. See you later, honey.
Yes, Mama. Oh, Sebastian. Oh, poor Sebastian. I never meant to kill Sebastian. It was Barney Hogarth that I wanted to. How did I ever manage to kill Sebastian? How?
That's an interesting enough question to leave you with for now. Here is a young lady who has already dispatched three people and may yet go for number four. How did she do it? Oh, you should know that already. Oh, yes. I've been playing scrupulously fair with you. All the clues were right out in the open. Think about it. And I shall return in just a few moments with Act Two.
Isn't it nice to know you're free? To see the things you want to see. The types to hide you live to reach. To know you're all that you can be.
Based on EPA tests, Buick's midsize Century with available automatic transmission and the Buick V6 got 17 miles per gallon in the city test and 25 in the highway test. Of course, those figures are only estimates. The mileage you get may vary. But what it means is this. Buick's V6 Centuries with automatic transmission got better overall EPA mileage ratings than any other U.S. midsize with automatic transmission. Nice going, Buick. In California, see your Buick dealer for EPA figures.
There's more to poverty than not having money.
It means you're hungry.
It seems like everything you do is defeated before you ever start, you know. We can't sit and make a decision. Someone else makes our decisions for us.
And if money is not the whole problem, then it's not the whole solution either. That takes time, ideas, and most important, it takes people working together to determine their own needs, to solve their own problems.
That's right. People helping people and helping themselves at the same time.
People helping people. People helping themselves. Not the whole answer, but it's a good start.
It certainly proves the point that if you stick together, you get places.
The Campaign for Human Development, the United States Catholic Conference.
Her name is Selena. She's one of those honey blondes with bright blue eyes. There's laughter in her face and innocence in her smile. She's delightfully naive and refreshingly sincere. These are the signals you get from her appearance. Forget it. She's already killed three people. But so far, she's the only one who knows that.
I'm very sorry to disturb you, Mrs. Carraway.
Oh, please, Sergeant. Ask me the necessary questions.
First, did your husband know a Sebastian Proudfoot?
Oh, I don't think so.
He worked for an agent, Barney Hogarth.
No, that name isn't familiar either.
How about Frank Clancy?
No. What does all this have to do with...
Your husband and these two other men were killed by a poison called Ur-Curare. It's a unique form of curare in that it can kill by ingestion. It's rare. They don't know much about it. It paralyzes all the motor functions. I'm sorry I had to tell you that.
Oh, it's all right.
Who had a motive for killing your husband, Mrs. Carraway?
In these things, don't you usually suspect the wife, Sergeant Garvey?
Yes. Except in this case, you'd also have to have killed two other people.
How could Joseph have been killed?
We don't know much about that poison. We don't know how it was administered or how long it needs to act.
One moment, he was active, busy, filled with life. And suddenly, he couldn't breathe. The room began to dance, and he was dead.
What was he doing?
Nothing. He just finished writing a letter, and I offered to mail it for him. And he just died.
Enemies. Had he ever harmed anyone?
Harmed?
What I'm asking, Mrs. Carraway, is anyone poorer because of him, unhappy because of him?
Oh, I don't think...
Mrs. Carraway, did he ever hurt anyone?
No. I can say in all sincerity, he never hurt anyone.
Well, 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 if it ain't Sergeant Garvey. Have one on the house.
Only if it's lemonade. What are you doing, celebrating?
Now, what should I be celebrating?
You are now sole owner of the rendezvous with Frank Clancy out of the way.
Oh, so it really wasn't a heart attack, huh?
Who killed him?
Well, I didn't. If the joint was making the profit, I might have been tempted, but business today...
Who killed him?
Oh, Sergeant, a million people could have killed him. Popularity contest he could never have won.
Just give me a few prime candidates.
Oh, I figure it's a dame.
Why?
Well, because he wasn't a guy who could, ditch a dame gracefully after he was through with her, if you know what I mean.
Let's hear more.
But some guys, Sergeant, when it's over, they know how to make a dame feel like she's not being tossed out. But him. I remember, yeah, it was a couple of, maybe 3 weeks ago. I come into the office, there's a dame there. She says to him, "I'll kill you, Frank."
She threatened to kill him?
Sure. Yeah, Frank used to lead him on, you know, promise him a job here singing or dancing. He made a good thing out of that. Yeah, the dames had come across, but he never would.
This particular dame, who was she? You know her name?
No.
Could you describe her?
Yeah. Yeah, let me try to remember what she looked like.
You're completely off base, Sergeant. Certainly no woman would have any motive to kill Joseph.
A young woman. with blonde hair, blue eyes.
Oh, there are millions of young women who fit that description.
We have reason to believe that a young woman could have killed Frank Clancy. Now, why would she also have a motive to kill your husband?
I told you, I don't...
Mrs. Carraway, three men are dead. One of them your own husband. Did he have another woman?
How dare you?
It was a question that had to be asked.
If he did have another woman, then shouldn't I be the one to kill him?
That depends.
On what?
On which one of you he chose to keep.
Oh, I was downtown shopping. I called him. He was working at home. I asked him to meet me for dinner. He said he had an appointment with a producer. I decided to dine alone in Aredo's. I was sitting in a booth when I heard a familiar voice in the booth in back of me.
Well, yes, my dear, I did say I would help you with your play.
You said you would collaborate with me.
Well, now, I never actually said that I would collaborate.
You did. You know you did.
But I can't do that. Now, you write nicely. You have talent. Huh? But it's a small talent.
You didn't talk this way before we went away for the weekend.
It was a mistake, Selena. It was a mistake.
Oh, yes. It was a mistake, all right.
Let me give you some money.
Money? If I wanted to sell myself, I...
Well, to be brutally frank, my dear, you were willing to sell yourself for influence, for connections, for a career.
Well, good for you. Now you came up with a Joseph Carraway type line. Now you can ease your conscience.
Look, I was just carried away by your freshness and by your beauty, your youth.
That's a good line, too. Old, but good.
Selena, please, I'll do anything for you, anything within reason.
But we're not going to collaborate on a play.
It's impossible.
Yes, it's impossible, all right. Tell me, when did your wife find out about me?
She doesn't know.
Oh, yes, she does. She does.
Well, I never told her. Now, I would be a fool to do that, wouldn't I?
She knows there's someone else. She can sense it. You're too old for a wife and a girlfriend. She knows. And that's why you feel you have to get rid of me.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
No. If she wasn't wise, you'd keep leading me on. Well, don't worry about it.
My darling, I...
In a little while, you won't have to worry about anything.
She got up and ran out, and he went after her.
Were you able to see what she looked like?
No.
And her name was Selena?
Yes.
Selena what?
I don't know.
So she ran out and he ran after her. And what happened later?
I don't know.
I mean, between you and your husband.
Nothing.
Isn't that kind of unusual?
No, Sergeant. Many people just accept it. Many people simply cannot make an issue of it. They're frightened. They don't know where it will lead. Besides, I knew it was all over and that it would never happen again.
So, there's a blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl named Selena.
Sergeant, I told you before, in a diplomatic way, he didn't go out with girls.
Does the name Selena mean anything to you?
Selena?
Blonde hair, blue eyes.
Yeah. There was a dame, Selena.
Then he did go out with her.
No, he didn't go out with her. The fact is, I did.
You?
Well, I didn't go out with her exactly, if you know what I mean. I saw her a couple of times and,
Yes?
Well, I got rid of her.
Why?
Why? Well, that's personal, isn't it?
We're dealing here with what could very well be first-degree murder. Withhold any facts or evidence, and you're an accessory. Would you like any part of that?
No, I'm only too happy to cooperate with the law. It's the duty of every citizen. After all, our government is only as strong as...
How about this girl, Selena?
Well, you know how they come in here looking for an agent, and she was... Well, she was different. I mean, she was the same, but she was so fresh, you know, right off the farm, and I... You know the type?
And?
Well, I said somebody's gonna pluck this little blossom sooner or later, so... Why not you, Bonnie Hogarth?
And you did.
I tell you, I was willing to get very serious. But she made a real terrible scene in a club one night.
How's the part coming, Barney?
The part? Oh, the part. Oh, great. Listen, honey, where are you living now?
Shouldn't I be meeting the producer?
You see, I was thinking...
Doesn't he want to meet me?
A kid like you, you really need somebody to... You need somebody to watch over you. You know, this can be an awful town for innocent young girls.
If I'm going to play the lead in his new show, I would think...
Selena, honey, you just leave all the thinking to me. Now, ain't I your agent?
The only reason I bring this up is... Well, you told me his name was Roderick Kendall... And the play is called No More Love.
Yeah, well, I
read in the paper that Rosemary Stewart has just been signed.
Oh. Well, look, you don't want to believe everything you read in the papers.
You've been lying to me, Barney.
No.
Should I tell you how I know? I called Mr. Kendall. I spoke to him.
You're kidding me. Kendall don't speak to nobody.
Yeah, especially to you. But I called at lunchtime when his girl was out. And he answered the phone himself, and I said, "Sir, my agent, Barney Hogarth, told me you had agreed to give me the part."
You said that to Roderick Kendall?
And you know what he said? "Who's Barney Hogarth?"
Oh, now, baby, you see, it's a joke.
There never was a part for me.
Look, I read the script, and I thought that you'd be
and
great.
And you lied to me.
Well, I okay. But I'm willing to make it up to you. You see, honest, you're just not another girl.
That's a very original line. I heard it in at least 20 movies.
Oh, honey, I'm willing to get you an apartment. Now, don't that prove something, huh?
But you're not willing to get me in a play.
I can't.
Sure, because you're not big enough.
No. Oh, it's because you're not good enough.
What did you say?
Oh, Selena. There are a million girls like you.
Why didn't you tell me this before, instead of after?
Because I'm no good, and this business is no good, and you go home, do you hear me?
I heard that line before, too. You're gonna pay for what you did to me.
But, honey, what did I do to you? Look, you don't kid me. For all those innocent eyes you've been around, you...
You lied to me.
Well, honey... That's showbiz.
And I'm going to kill you.
Yeah. What? Oh, now, come on, don't make me laugh.
You're cheap, shabby, and false.
Selena, you're starting to raise your voice. You're playing the scene all wrong.
I won't be able to look at myself in the mirror again until you're dead.
She said she'd kill you.
That's what she said, Sergeant. And she sure was mad enough.
But if she was angry enough to kill you, why did she kill Sebastian?
Why? The eternal why. Once again, you should know why. All the evidence is already in. Every vital clue that Detective Sergeant Garvey is about to discover is a fact you know already. Well... While all of these trips are free, it's more fun to work your passage. See you in just a few moments when we all embark again for the third act.
When you say bed, you've said a lot of things nobody else can say.
A lot of things, like Beechwood aging for 100% natural carbonation. That's how the Budweiser people age their beer. Nobody else does it that special way. But then, nobody else is brewing the king of beers. I could tell you a lot of other things about Budweiser and why it's the largest selling beer in the world. But it all comes back to the Budweiser taste, and that speaks for itself. Loud and clear. Hear it talking?
There is no other one. There's only something left. Because the king of beer is leading all the rest. When you say Budweiser, you've said it all.
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
First, the good news about the treatment of cancer. Through chemotherapy, which is the use of anti-cancer drugs to lessen pain and lengthen life for many, great progress has been made. Through chemotherapy, a child with leukemia, a woman with breast cancer, a senior citizen with a tumor, can bring a normal balance to their daily lives. Now the bad news. More research is desperately needed to find newer, even more effective anti-cancer drugs, and more programs to bring those treatments to everyone who needs help. You can be part of that research. You can be part of that help. Send a check today to the Chemotherapy Foundation. That's Chemo, C-H-E-M-O, Therapy Foundation, Box 8, New York, New York, 10028. That's the Chemotherapy Foundation, Box 8, New York, New York, 10028. This is Bess Meyerson with a public service message from the Chemotherapy Foundation.
Her name is Selena. She has killed three men. Whether or not her cause is just is not for us to decide here below. Certainly, her reasons are the oldest reasons in the world. You know what they say about women scorned, women spurned, women betrayed? Believe it. Believe everything you hear. You're aware of what happened to several men who didn't.
That's right, Sergeant. She was mad at me. Why did she kill Sebastian?
You took her for a ride, Mr. Hogarth.
No, you gotta believe me. I was really crazy about it.
And Frank Clancy took her for a ride. And so did Joseph Carraway. But Sebastian...
Hey, I remember now. She even liked him. They'd sit around and chew the fat in the office like I gotta say this, like they were sisters.
Well, at least we now know her full name. Selena what?
Hey, I don't remember.
What do you mean you don't remember?
Well, she come into the office the very first time. She says, I want to be an actress. And I says, what's your name, honey? She says, Selena, and I can't remember.
Don't you have it written down?
Yeah, well, you see, it was a long jawbreaker of a name. I think it sounded Dutch or Polish or, you know. So I said, no, that can't be your name. We'll call you. And you see that calendar on the wall? The Jenkins photographers? Selena Jenkins.
But her real name?
Jenkins kind of fitted her, you know, nice country girl sound.
Uh-huh. Where was she from?
Well, it had to be a small town.
Where?
I never asked her. She said something about Pennsylvania or Ohio, or maybe Indiana.
Try to think.
What's the difference? Once you cross the Hudson River, it all looks like Bridgeport anyhow.
So, we have no way of knowing her real name or where she comes from. Now, look, I have to ask you to recall every circumstance surrounding the death of Sebastian, every detail.
Mm-hmm.
You called him into your office. Why?
It had to do with not letting certain calls go through and... and he'd also brought in the mail, yeah.
So he placed the mail on your desk and then turned to leave?
No. It was only one letter. He read it to me.
And then he died?
Yeah, just about. Now, the letter needed an answer, so I wrote it. And this is kind of personal. I give it to him to mail, and then as he's gone out, he... It happened. Just like that.
What's this, Selena? You about to leave?
Yes, Mama. It's high time I was going back to pursue my career.
Well, you could have a very nice career down here, honey. The oldest Franklin boy would marry you in a minute.
I know, Mama.
And he's got the farm and a partnership in the mill. And he's very smart.
That's true, Mama.
Good looking?
Best looking boy in the county, Mama. I'll write you from New York.
Oh, now, it's a bad time of year for colds. Do you remember to take some of that bark Grandpa brought home from South America?
Oh, Mama.
You scrape off just a tiny, minute amount, the first sign of a sniffle. Not too much, though. They do say it can really lay you low if you go whole hog.
Now, Mama, I know how to use it.
And you remember, in case the people in New York don't know how to fully appreciate your talent, you come right back home, you hear?
Yes, Mama. I hear.
I'm sorry to bother you again, Mrs. Carraway.
Can I help in any way, Sergeant?
The girl, Selena, figures prominently in all three deaths.
She could have placed the poison somewhere in Mr. Hogarth's office, and poor Sebastian was killed by mistake. I spoke with the late Mr. Clancy's associate, who says the way people come and go at the club, it wouldn't have been difficult for her to get in there.
Are you saying she could have come in here to plant the poison?
Yes.
Well, I hesitate to advise you in your own trade, Sergeant, but isn't that a rather haphazard method?
Yeah. Yeah, it bothers me, too.
Well, it backfired, obviously, in Mr. Hogarth's case and killed that poor Sebastian.
Well, we know they died of poison. Poison has to be administered somehow and somewhere. Look, tell me the exact circumstances surrounding your husband's death.
Well, it was very simple and direct. One moment.
Yes, I know. You came into the room. You said you were going downtown. He was writing a letter.
Well, he had just finished the letter. It was ready to be mailed. I took it from him.
Wait a minute. You took a letter from him to drop in the mail?
Yes.
So did Sebastian. He took a letter from Hogarth. No, but that's no good, because if there's anything to that, you're the one who should be dead.
I beg your pardon?
The letter he gave you, what happened to it?
Well, when he had the attack, I dropped it on the floor of his study, and it should still be there.
Yes, here, right near the desk. You never moved a thing. It's addressed to box number 1234, 34th Street Post Office. May I open it?
Well, of course.
Dear Miss, I am the man, Joseph Carraway. What do you suppose this means?
I don't know.
Is there anything on his desk that could lead us to an answer?
Well, I haven't been able to bring myself to go through his papers.
Could you do it now?
Well, I'll have to eventually. Yes, I'll do it now.
And if there's anything that might be important...
I understand, Sergeant. I understand.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I remember. I come running in here when I heard he was lying in there in his chair.
Now, Jerry, think. Was there a letter that was ready to be mailed?
A letter. Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, Frank Clancy was not a guy who wrote letters. His motto was, never put it in writing.
A letter ready to be mailed?
Yeah, I remember. All sealed with a stamp. I even remember it was addressed to a box number.
What happened to the letter?
What happened to the letter? I don't know. I guess it's still on his desk.
You found me. I'm that same Frank Clancy. Barney, there was a letter you addressed to a box number. You'd just written it. You gave it to Sebastian Proudfoot to mail. Where's the letter?
The letter? I mailed it.
You mailed it?
Well, it was a personal thing, you know.
What did the letter say?
Look, this doesn't have anything to do with...
Did it say, I am the same Barney Hogarth?
How do you know?
Okay, Mr. Hogarth. Who did you send the letter to?
I don't know.
Two other men wrote letters identifying themselves to somebody. Now, what kind of hustle was being worked here?
Hustle? Yeah, now, you know, now that you lay it out, it does sound like a hustle. But what could she hope to gain by it?
She?
Hey, if it really is a dame. Look here, I got a letter in the mail. Here, read it.
If you are that man, please tell me so. I will send you a check for $50,000. I enclose a stamped, self-addressed envelope for your convenience. Sign forever in your debt.
Word for word, that's the letter that Frank Clancy and Barney Hogarth each received.
But what's the purpose of it?
The post office box doesn't even exist.
What does that mean?
It means that whoever sent that letter didn't really care about getting an answer.
Well, then why enclose a stamped, self-addressed envelope?
Why? So that...
Sergeant? Sergeant, is something the matter?
Is it possible? Can it be that simple?
Well, I'm afraid I don't understand you, Sergeant.
Mrs. Carraway, you've been of the greatest help. Now I'm sure I know how your husband and those other two men died.
But what are you saying, Sergeant?
It was a mistake. The killer didn't want Sebastian. She wanted you.
The killer?
Selena.
But Selena wouldn't... But I mean, she's such a pretty little thing.
So's a coral snake.
But I don't even know where we can find her.
I do.
Where?
Right here.
Here?
She'll be back. She has to be back. She missed you. She'll come back and make sure of you.
What do you mean? How? What do you...
She'll have to do it soon, too. So my advice to you is don't leave the office.
What do you mean, don't leave?
Live here, sleep here. Eat all your meals at a restaurant.
But I can't.
And I'll be here with you. I want to wait for her.
Well, what makes you think that...
I'm your new assistant.
Are you crazy? You couldn't fool anybody. You look exactly like a cop.
I'll just have to do the best I can. But I'm not letting you out of my sight.
Hello.
Well, hello.
Is Mr. Hogarth in?
That depends. Who wants to see him?
Selina Jenkins.
Selina? Won't you sit down, Miss Jenkins?
Thank you.
She's here.
Well, why don't you arrest her?
I have no evidence.
But she wrote all those letters, didn't she?
We can't prove any of it.
But she threatened me. She threatened the other two also.
Threats alone are not proof.
But what are we going to do?
We have to catch her in the act.
But...
But what? That's how the law works. You can't arrest someone before they commit a crime.
But she's already committed 3 murders.
We can't prove those yet. We hope to prove yours.
Mine?
The coffee pot's out near my desk. Now I'm going back out there.
You mean she's alone out there?
Don't worry.
But suppose she has a gun. Did you ever think of that?
She doesn't use guns. She's got this poison thing down pat. It works. Now, I came in here to give her a chance to doctor the coffee.
Oh, I hope you know what you're doing.
If you knew what you were doing originally, I wouldn't have to be here in the first place. Mr. Hogarth is tied up just now, but he asked you to wait.
He's angry with me, I know. I behave foolishly. But I'm truly sorry now.
I know. I'd forgive you.
You're such a flatterer.
Oh, excuse me. Yes, Mr. Hogarth. Oh, you want those Allied contracts? I'll bring them right in. Oh, well, it's always one thing after another. I better bring him a cup of coffee, too.
Yes, he certainly loves coffee.
He said for you to wait. He wouldn't be long. Well, did she or didn't she? This coffee goes to the lab. If it has poison in it, we've got her.
Maybe she ain't the one.
She's the one. And I'm sorry for her. You just sit here in your office. I'll bring the coffee out again. He didn't want the coffee.
Oh, that's unusual for him. He drinks it all day.
Well, no sense letting coffee go to waste. Would you like a cup?
No. No, thank you.
Well, I might as well drink it myself.
Oh,
What is it?
I think I got something in my eye. Here, look and see.
Oh.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so clumsy.
That's all right. There's still a little bit left in the cup. And here, what's spilled on the blotter can still be analyzed in the lab.
In the lab?
And you're sure to have some of that poison left in your purse. Well, what do you say?
I'm sorry about Sebastian.
Yeah. You figured out a very smart way for them to take poison. All you had to do was get a device that would make them answer a letter. Answer a letter by sending back a self-addressed envelope. And they would just lick the flap to seal it. And on the flap, mixed with the paste, was enough of that urcurare to kill them immediately.
It was a clever story. It even took in Mr. Carraway.
But the way it worked out... Poor Sebastian sealed Mr. Hogarth's envelope.
I'm willing to be punished for that one.
I'm sorry. I have to place you under arrest.
The others deserved it. Well, I suppose it'll give me time to reflect on my career.
Yes, miss. Plenty of time.
Not as much as you might imagine. There were women on that jury, and her story must have touched a universal chord of sisterhood. Anyway, she'll come out still relatively young and still beautiful. So if she should ask you to help further her career, Be discreet and be here, for I shall be back shortly.
In God We Trust, America Speaks.
Thoughts from Helen Keller. I have four things to learn in life. To think clearly without hurry or confusion. To love everybody sincerely. To act in everything with the highest motives. To trust in God unhesitatingly. I long to accomplish a great and noble task, but it is my chief duty to accomplish humble tasks, as though they were great and noble. The world has moved along, not only by the mighty shoves of its heroes, but also by the aggregate of the tiny pushes of each honest worker.
Presented by the Catholic Communications Foundation.
Each year, they sweep into the city armed with hope and illusion. And each year, they are forced to retreat, older, but infinitely wiser. The race for glory is to the swiftest of the swift. And if a little learning can be a dangerous thing, then just a little talent can be, and often is, a disaster. Our cast included Roberta Maxwell, Catherine Byers, Michael Tolan, Earl Hammond, and Richard Seth. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Are you my friend? What's Are you that? My partner? I want music.
Well, I'll look into it, Harry.
You'll see to it?
I gotta go.
I'll
be
night
back.
Of love. Barney Google!
There you are.
Well, everything all right, Mr. Burroughs?
Well, I tried not to upset him about anything. He seems to be fine.
Good.
I had a telegram from his mother, but I didn't show it to him. It wasn't exactly a telegram for him. She sent it to me.
He never mentioned having a mother.
Oh.
Matter of fact, he never mentioned anybody but you.
Yeah, well, see, I wired his mother right after the attack.
Yes.
And, well, here, I've been carrying her reply around with me in my pocket ever since. See, here it is.
You want me to read it?
Oh, yeah, please.
Harry is too mean to die, and tell him I said so.
Yeah, see, his mother's kind of a joker at times.
You ask me, she's one smart old lady. That man in there is too mean to die.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Beautiful music. This is KIXI, Seattle.
CBS News. Spain has started releasing political prisoners. I'm Ann Crosman reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The Spanish government made good a promise made last week by King Juan Carlos and began letting political prisoners go. Among those leaving a Madrid jail tonight was communist later leader Marcelino Camacho. Camacho told reporters he was fine and well, but that all political prisoners will have to be released before he is satisfied. Camacho has served 3.5 years of a 7-year sentence. Released with him was journalist Nicolas Sartorius, who had served 3.5 years of a 6-year sentence for illegal political association. Portugal Saturday night asked the United Nations to help end the civil war in Portuguese Timor. The Portuguese government wants the UN to negotiate a settlement among the 3 independence groups on Timor, one of which declared the territory independent last week. More news in a minute.
A lot of happy facts have been written down for you. Learn the happy facts and be a happy for you.
We're the Consumer Information Center of the U.S. General Services Administration, and we have a lot of happy facts, useful facts, over 250 government publications, just filled with facts about nutrition, about simple home repairs, about what records you should keep. You can learn how to remove stains or how to take care of your car. All kinds of facts. For a free catalog, write Consumer Information, Pueblo, Colorado, 81009. Learn the little-known facts of life that can help make your life a little happier. Send for your free catalog. Write Consumer Information, Pueblo, Colorado, 81009.
Police in Utah have suspended a search for a 16-year-old skier missing since Friday in the mountains east of Salt Lake City. We talked to Salt Lake County Sheriff spokesman Mike Hanks about the search.
They called it off because of snow and darkness, and they're going to resume tomorrow. It was about 4 p.m. The winds came up and it started to get dark. They had to call the helicopter off.
Utah police are also looking for 2 men who are duck hunters who have been missing since Thursday on Willard Bay. A big snowstorm hit that area the same day. The UN Security Council met Saturday night in private, then recessed until later Sunday after again failing to reach agreement on extending the mandate for UN peacekeeping forces in the Golan Heights. Syria is insisting that the Palestine Liberation Organization be allowed to attend next month's debate on the Mideast as a condition for extending the mandate. The U.S. is opposed to such a move. The deadline is midnight Sunday. For 2,000 years, the Catholic Church has taught that it was Christ's will that only men become priests. Sharon Lovejoy has a report about a group of people who are challenging that traditional thinking.
1,200 Catholic nuns, priests, and sympathetic laypersons have gathered in Detroit this weekend to discuss the possibility of ordination of women. Among them, 100 women who say they have felt a call to the priesthood. But change comes slowly within the Catholic Church. There has been little support for the movement among bishops, archbishops, and cardinals. Some are openly sympathetic to the idea of women in the priesthood, but most say it is the Pope who must make that decision after careful study of the scriptures. Women here are encouraged, however, by the growing interest in this movement. Including women in the priesthood, they say, would not only expand the role of women within the church, but would strengthen the church all over the world. Sharon Lovejoy, CBS News, Detroit.
Tentative agreement was reached tonight in Canada to end a 6-week-long postal workers' strike. Now this message.
The time, July 1st, 1931. Amid a 21-gun salute, the USS Constitution is recommissioned. This is James Drury with Navy Chronicle. The USS Constitution was the first sizable frigate commissioned by the United States. Built with timber gathered from Maine to Georgia and copper spikes supplied by Paul Revere, this beautiful, powerful fighting ship became a symbol of American freedom on the seas around the world. She served an active and distinguished career until 1900, when she was declared unseaworthy. But public sentiment saved her. The USS Constitution, the oldest ship in the Navy, is today a symbol of courage and patriotic service by Americans at sea. Old Ironsides remains in Boston Harbor, where she began so long ago in 1797, and she's still a symbol of American freedom.
You've been listening to Navy Chronicle, an historical series with James Drury and the U.S. Navy Band.
There was a big crowd Saturday at the annual Chitlin' Strut in the little town of Sally, South Carolina. The Chitlin' Strut is not a new dance. It is an eating fest for chitlin lovers. For those of you who don't know, chitlins are intestines of the hog, and they can be fixed any number of ways, including boiled or fried. The town of Sally began having chitlin struts in 1966 to raise money for Christmas street decorations. This year, the money will go toward building a playground and tennis courts. Representing President Ford at the chitlin strut Saturday was Thomas Klein, who is an aide to Agriculture Secretary Earl Butts. The strut organizers presented Klein with a 5-pound box of frozen chitlins to give Mr. Ford. I'm Ann Crosman, CBS News.